With me today is Yolanda Avila, who is a candidate for Colorado Springs City Council District 4. Welcome.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
First, let's start with a little introduction of yourself. Let folks know who you are.
I am Yolanda Avila, and my family has had a presence in the district for 50 years. My mother she's 94, and still is in the home where I grew up in the district. So I grew up mostly I lived in Colorado Springs since 1958, where my dad was stationed at Fort Carson. And Mom loved the city, said this was going to be home base, military brat, right? Ended up going to elementary, junior high, and high school here, and ended up graduating from Colorado College.
Why are you running for council in District 4?
That is my district, like I said, where I grew up. But for 21 years after graduating and not finding work here, I made my way to California. And in California, I worked as a criminal defense investigator. And jobs were accessible. And I was doing great there. But in the year 2000, I was diagnosed with what's called retinitis pigmentosa, which means the cells are dying gradually in the retina. Even though the transition from sight to blindness was very difficult, what made it a little easier was transportation. And transportation was running almost like 20 hours a day. Routes were going 10, 15 minutes. So I was able to walkable sidewalks. All the sidewalks were walkable and the ramps. And so I was able to transition to either walking to work or busing it. And it worked really well. Well, I retired. I retired and returned home to be near my mom. And I bought a house there 10 years prior so that I could live, you know, next to my mom. And so when I returned, buses were only running 5 days a week, 6 to 6. And I couldn't believe it. The sidewalks were completely inaccessible, and I knew I had to get to work. I thought I was going to retire and join book clubs and yoga and all that, but there was work to do. Since then, I've been heavily involved, and so many committees and boards have asked me to join them because they know that I'm about solutions and getting things done.
I want to let you know that that Helen Collins, who is the incumbent for the district, had declined an interview as part of this process, and I just want to know if you had any response or reaction to that.
I really don't. I attend about 70% of the city council meetings, and a lot of times she doesn't vote the way I would like her to vote, and having services brought to our side of the city, District 4. However, on a personal level, she's professional and she's a good person. That's, you know, to each their own, whatever they decide to do.
I am wondering how you would characterize your district.
I think my district is really diverse. We have 33% Latinos. We have the majority of Colorado Springs, a large population. I think it's like 12% African American. We have the Fort Carson soldiers. We have, you know, people coming and going. So part of it could be transient. And then we have, I've been canvassing a lot, and we have a lot of, like my mother in that whole district, Park Hill, a lot of the original owners are there. And they're, you know, well into their 70s and 80s. So it's really diverse. In my block where I live, it's a long cul-de-sac. There's a lot of young families. And the kids, there's several Latinos. It's really mixed. It's Asian, Latino, white, military. And I listen to the kids, and they fluently go from English to Spanish. So I think our district is so diverse and has such a great potential.
So, you may have just answered this, but I'm going to ask it in a little bit of a different way. Who are the core constituencies there in District 4?
More clarity on that.
You mentioned that the district is District 4 is a diverse district. Who do you see? What do you see as sort of the population and the people who are going to
vote?
Yeah,
it's the more people that have been established there. I think the a lot of the seniors and. The families that have been there through generations, like my granddaughter lives in the district with, as does her mother and her grandma on the other side of the family, and so they're voters. So there's these people that are established, I think, that have been there and have seen how the district has grown and. And how a lot of the needs haven't been met that they'd like to see there. So I think those are the core groups. I've been speaking to like millennials that have come in because of the housing being more affordable on our side of town, and so they may be a voice too in the district that people aren't realizing.
What are the biggest issues that are facing your district?
We have some barriers in our district that haven't given our residents the opportunity to succeed. For instance, there's been barriers in transportation. Now, I've been working on it, and buses are now running 7 days a week until 9 p.m., so that helps a lot. But they're going to increase 15-minute routes. They did on Nevada, but it was from the terminal north. And they're going to do it on Academy, but again, it's from Citadel North. So there's barriers to employment going to, and even inside the district, it's hard to get from one end to the other or into the community, into like the shopping areas within that community. So there's some barriers to employment, to connection to the community within and to the arteries, to the greater College Springs area. 5 years ago, maybe it's going on six, the workforce center was moved from Spruce to the northwest side of town, which cut out a lot of our opportunity for our residents to obtain jobs. And so I work with this woman, Melissa. I'm on the RISE committee, which stands for Resilient, Inspired, Strong, and Engaged. And that steering committee, there was a survey done about transportation, and there's this woman, Melissa, and I'm not able to tell you where she works out of, but she says she has so many jobs that she can place our residents, but there's no transportation to get there. So transportation is a real huge barrier. The fact that the workforce was changed was to the northwest side of town, it takes about 3 hours to get there and 3 hours to get back. And then just the lack of community centers and recreational things for the community to do.
I want to stick on transportation here for a minute. And you mentioned that the bus service has actually increased. Where would you put us now? Are we adequate? Can there be more done? Or are we still, you know, do we still have some gaping needs?
We still have gaping needs. It's improved, to say the least, but we had to fight for that to get that $1.4 million that the taxpayers agreed to in 2004. And the mayor did agree to finally, we got that this year. But that was for the maintenance effort. But we still need to increase frequency and have more routes. I mean, after the election in 2015, the bus route, the 22 that went near my home, was taken out from one day to the next. Had no idea that it was leaving. And I'm on all these different committees. And now I walk a mile to my bus stop. And sometimes in the wintertime, if there's snow, it's impossible to do that. So I arrange for Metro Mobility. But it's really lacking in a lot of the areas. To walk to the bus stop are just not accessible.
So that's in particular issues, the biggest issues facing your district. What do you think are the biggest issues facing the city as a whole?
I think it's the infrastructure and the stormwater. We really need to repair the stormwater throughout the whole city. I mean, we're facing, well, I think there's an agreement with Pueblo now, but I think they may be joining on a lawsuit. So not because of that, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to get up to speed, up to code, and get that stormwater. I mean, why would businesses want to come here if, you know, our stormwater infrastructure is falling apart?
A little bit on taxes here, and I'm wondering if you think there might be potentially is there an imbalance between sales tax and property tax, and when is it appropriate to raise taxes?
I think we have one of the lowest property taxes in the country. And there is an imbalance because sales tax is a regressive tax, and it ends up hurting a medium to lower income families more. They're shouldering a lot of that burden. I think we have to look at the property tax, and there's no appetite for it here in our city. We want the services, but we don't want to contribute to getting those services at times.
And how do you rectify that?
I think we have to really do something about Tabor and debrucing the city. Because for me personally, and a lot of people that I talk to, instead of seeing $30 or whatever the amount is on my utility bill as the tax is coming back to me, I'd rather see that go into a pot of where we can bring our services up in every direction. I mean, we need services with not infrastructure, with stormwater, with transportation, parks, our fire, our police department, and our fire, you know, our fire department. And those could go to the services where it could be very good. And that's where businesses want to come, is where we have excellent services, where there's a robust transportation system. So I would like to look at figuring out how to actually get rid of Tabor, because it's been crippling us mm-hmm. as a city.
Which actually leads right into my next question, which is, you know, 2008, the city was ridiculed a little bit for as the economy took the downturn. We had to turn off street lamps. We had to stop watering the parks, garbage collection in the parks. And although we've the economy is a lot better now, the reality is that eventually, at some point in the future, there will be another economic downturn. I'm wondering how we as a city prepare for that kind of a ratchet down effect of Tabor, where the recovery might not as be as strong because of Tabor and the limits of the algorithm.
That's like with Tabor, we're allowed to just get, I think, 2.5% back of the surplus revenue. And again, we need to get out from under it. In Calder Springs, we have the state, the county, the city. We are crippled by it. And right now, there's, you know, the ballot measure to have $6 million. They're anticipating $9 million in surplus tax revenue. And they're looking at, we're looking at $6 million to go to stormwater. Well, the ballot is, but I'm supportive of that. There's another $3 million there, though, could go to other services. We need to get rid of Tabor, bottom line. And I know that a lot of people in the city do not have an appetite for that. But that's the bottom line, because what are we going to do when there is a downturn? We need to build our infrastructure. We need to build it strong now for that time that there is a downturn.
Mayor Suthers consistently brings up the fact that Colorado Springs is the 40th biggest city in the country, and we need to act like it. That's what he says. How do you take those words? What do those words mean to you?
I think you'd like to see more develop more activities, perhaps having to do with the City of Champions. Honestly, I'm not in his head. I don't know exactly. I think you'd like to see it grow, probably in conjunction and partnership with businesses.
But what does it mean to you to say that we are going to act like, regardless of whether or not you agree with what he is saying, what does it mean to you to act like the 40th biggest city in the country?
To me, it means having a wonderful infrastructure, having a robust, accessible public transportation system. Baby boomers, of which I am, and millennials think a lot about the same things about transportation, walkable sidewalks, and not really relying on these cars and that affect our environment. That, for me, is like I can walk to a grocery store where there are no food deserts. Where I can walk to a park where there's community events. That's, for me, like the 40th largest city where you can get around, where you can go to concerts, plays, the performing arts, that there's a lot to do in the city. But yet, the 40th largest, it's still small enough to have that sense of community as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit of a related question, so it might be a little bit redundant, but what is your vision for Colorado Springs, for the city?
I know. I'm saying that is the truth. That's what I'm campaigning on, have been working on, is that the city reflect all of its citizens, all of us, because every citizen has so much to bring to the table and that diversity. And again, it's that we need that strong infrastructure to support the city and its growth, and looking far ahead, not just for this generation, for my generation, but the great grandkids and future generations, of having enough water, clean water, having parks to go to and play in. Having, stores nearby or local markets nearby to, like where I live, it's, Taco Bell's and Burger King's and liquor stores and at Vision, where there's just more of a sense of community. And I can enjoy the arts here, just here in my city, with just a quick bus ride and I don't have to walk through a mile to get there. So, it's just to see us all prosper together. Right now, it seems like the gap is growing between the have and have-nots, and it's to stop that and to create a lot of the, even within the city, it's a big thing to contract out. They're like, we're saving all this money because we're contracting out. Well, maybe saving money in the now, in the present, but we're going to pay for it big in the future when we keep contracting out just to make it look good that, we've saved all this money, because it reduces pay for people, living wage. And I like to see a really strong middle class here again, like we did before.
Mm-hmm. Where in the last city council term do you think that perhaps they've fallen short?
Well, I think it was really bad before when the former mayor was here, and the infighting with the city council then. I think in the last election with the mayor and the new city council, I think they've had a lot to work, they had to mend and healing and collaborating. And I am not going to say that they've fallen short. I just think they've had a lot to work with and to deal with. And I've gone to know most of them. And I think they're working as hard as they can. I see that they are committed to the citizen, to the citizens. So how they go about it would be some of them would be a little different than how I would go about it. But that being said, is I really think that I could work with the city council now.
Just in summary, why should someone who lives in Colorado Springs District 4 vote for you?
Yolanda L. Avila, because I grew up in that area. It means I have a connection. I have a bond with friendships that I've had since I was a little girl. To new friendships that I've made, but I have family that lives throughout the district, and I will say I work there now, even though I don't have a pay job at this point. I put in about 30 to 50 hours a week with all the volunteer work I do. So I am in and around my city. I live it. I don't just get in a car and drive to another side of town. I walk in my area. Sometimes I walk up to 4 miles a few times a week, a day, and I'm walking through my neighborhood, and it's like I know my neighborhood, and these are my people. So I think that they could trust and feel comfortable that I'll be there for them. I give my personal number away. It's like, here it is. Call me. And you have any questions, and I plan to be just as accessible when I'm on city council. So I'm looking for your vote. You're in District 4. Vote Yolanda L. Avila for city council.
Well, thank you very much for being here today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.